I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Ever snore so loud it registered as an earthquake, or you woke up with a throat as dry as the Sahara Desert and a headache that could stop a locomotive? Well, I've had all of these because I have sleep apnea. Hi, I'm Scott Mitchell. Yep, I wear a machine plugged into a wall attached to a hose every night. Sound Sleep Medical changed all of this for me, and they can do that for you. They specialize in providing oral appliance therapy for individuals suffering from sleep disorders. In many cases, oral appliances have proven to be as effective as CPAP machines in treating sleep apnea. The lack of sleep is a serious health risk and has been linked to heart disease, stroke, diabetes, and even depression. The oral appliance I got from Sound Sleep Medical has freed me from a hose. I can go anywhere, and I've never slept better. Call Sound Sleep Medical today. Seriously, for a limited time, the first 25 people that call get a free consultation worth $200. Call 801-783-5451. It's 801-783-5451.
All right, welcome into the Jazz Notes podcast. We're going to have a special guest on this edition of the podcast. It's KSL.com jazz writer Ryan Miller. The interview was prior to the Jazz's game over the against the Orlando Magic because, well, you know, he's got a lot of work to do after the game, so we decided to talk before the game. We talk a lot about Donovan Mitchell, you know, the point guard, maybe. We'll see. The continual hope for Dante Exum and how the team wasn't disappointed to lose to Milwaukee. But first, let's talk about Utah's 106-93 victory over the Orlando Magic. Coach Quinn Snyder, for the most part, you know, he's pretty pragmatic about his team after games, whether they win or whether they lose. Not too high, not too low. Well, in this one, he was pretty pragmatic too, but boy, he really gave his team a lot of praise after starting out lethargic, being down double digits most of the first half, and then pulling out a victory.
This group, like what they did, given the fact that, you know, we were down and the way we started, is pretty impressive. This is a heck of a win for our team. You know, everybody, just the way we came back and battled, particularly, you know, the second half defensively. I think we just kind of, it occurred to us even more that, you know, our reaction, maybe more than any time this year, you know, to missing shots. That's what happened early. I thought we missed a couple shots. We had some good looks, and it impacted our focus, and that impacts our execution. So we didn't let that in, and we kept guarding, and then we started making some shots. And obviously, we defended the second half pretty darn well.
Nothing has really changed for Snyder because it all comes down to defense in every game. You know, flying around, intensity. That's what he asked of his guys, and that's what he got pretty much from about the middle of the second quarter on, but definitely in the third quarter. I mean, when you look at the stats, it was amazing. I mean, the Orlando Magic, they were still shooting over 50%, I believe, at the half, and they had made 9 3-pointers in the first half. They ended up with 12 3-pointers total, including one desperation one that went in the third quarter by DJ Augustine. So the Jazz really clamped down on defense. Orlando only ended up shooting 40% for the game, 39.8% exactly, and 39.4% for the whole game in three-pointers. And at one point, they were over 60% early in the game, but the Jazz were able to come back. I know, I get it. Orlando's in the back end of a long road trip. The Jazz should have won this game, but still, the Jazz coming out lethargic and then playing to win this game. I know that sounds stupid, but anyway, playing to win this game and really coming out and playing great on defense. Hey, it worked. I mean, what he said worked. I mean, Donovan Mitchell gave a lot of praise to him in this game about what he said at halftime.
You know, he came in calm. He understood, you know, like, you know, we had a tough run, but we were making a push, you know, and it's easy for a coach to come in and just yell and scream, but he understood the mentality that we had at halftime, and I think it was a good talk when we came out and responded.
And Quinn had great things to say about Donovan Mitchell. I mean, Donovan Mitchell had an incredible night, but of course he said the thing that it came down to was defense. He said because of his defense, Donovan Mitchell, that's what really led to everything else in this game. And then Quinn pointed to a specific play in which Donovan was able to get a steal. He jets down the floor and gets in. Well, I'm not going to say an easy two. There was a guy that was down there, but Donovan was so fast that I don't think the guy had really had time to, the defender really had time to make a defensive play on him. And in a lot of ways, that kind of symbolized this whole game. The Jazz started out sloppy. Donovan Mitchell started out sloppy. They didn't play good defense. Donovan was not playing great defense either. And then they sort of turned it on in this game. And it was a pretty impressive win by the Jazz. I will give it to them. Yes, I understand the circumstances behind it, but it's still a very impressive game for this team. For Donovan Mitchell, really from the second quarter on, he did very little wrong. To me, his game kind of turned around when he didn't look to force the issue and, to me, possibly looked to score every time he had the ball. He had a bit of a different take.
My biggest thing is, you know, not to change the mindset just because, you know, we're down two point guards. You know, I think that's what I did last year during the Houston series, and it kind of messed with my head. Just being aggressive and making the right reads. That's what I've been doing, and that's what I'm going to continue to do.
This is the Donovan Mitchell I think I was waiting to see, and a lot of the fans were waiting to see this season. Efficient, smart, and aggressive. If you look at his stats, 12 for 21 from the field, 4 for 7 from three-point line, 5 for 6 from the free throw line. Why do I bring up free throws when he only shot 6 free throws? Because late in the game, when maybe he could be tired, and a lot of people thought he was tired, especially in that loss to Milwaukee, he made 2 big free throws that extended the Jazz's lead out. He also had 4 rebounds in this game, but the big one for me also is 7 assists. A lot of them came in the offense, and he made the right plays to the right guys. He did not look to score early in the game, I will say this. He did look to score. He didn't look to pass that much, but as the game kept going along, he actually looked to make, as he would say, he looked to make the right play. And that wasn't always scoring. And because he was able to do that, I believe that set him up for chances to score later in the game. Not sure you're going to see this every night, but it shows that he can be a lead guard in the NBA. I'm sure that we're going to have more to talk about this on the next Jazz podcast when I sit down with Jeremiah Jensen. As I said, I know it's Orlando, end of a long road trip, but a win's a win. Jazz are now back at 500, and really that's all that matters. Is it a huge win? Maybe. I mean, maybe later on in the season, it will turn out to be one of those games where we say that, you know, this intensity that the Jazz showed will keep showing up in multiple games down the road, especially playing against weaker opponents. But really, the Jazz kind of started showing this turnaround when they went on their road trip. It was kind of unfortunate that they lost to Milwaukee on that last game of the road trip because they played hard in every single one of those games. So I'm not sure this is going to be like the defining game, but I think it's a game that could be a microcosm for this season. Start out slow, maybe finish fast at the end. Welcome back to the Jazz Notes podcast. Before the Jazz's victory over Orlando, I snuck out in the hallway of Vivint Smart Home Arena, just outside the media room, to converse with Ryan Miller. Some of the stuff will sound dated after the Jazz's impressive comeback win, especially about Donovan Mitchell, but I think the broader conversation about Mitchell is still good. But first, I ask Ryan about the breaking news that Shake Shack is coming to Utah.
I'm more of an In-N-Out guy, so really? This doesn't move the needle much for me. Sure, I'll go to it because I'll like hamburgers, but... But yeah, sure.
Double-double animal style, is that your thing?
Well, I'm actually more just a double-double guy. Really? Like, yeah, more like you remove the onions altogether, and I'm pretty happy.
Okay, we're not here to talk about burgers here on the Jazz Notes podcast. It was interesting looking back of your coverage of the Jazz and the Milwaukee Bucks. It was interesting hearing the Jazz say, you know, we were right there with them. We were that close. It didn't sound like they were really too disappointed that they got a loss. And is that just, you know, fans are going to go crazy when they hear something like that. What? You don't want it. You don't ever want to feel good about a loss. But in retrospect, is it just the team is, you know, that this is just one game in an 82-game season, and really they were that close against one of the best teams in the NBA?
I think there's a few things that kind of factor into that attitude. One, it's the last game of a road trip that was 8 days long. They were dead tired. And really the last road game of a stretch of a season that has just been super road heavy. And one, and the second thing, they were playing without the two top point guards. They did not have a point guard really for most of the game after Ricky Rubio goes out. So there was a lot of things to feel good about that, like, that loss. And yeah, it's one game of 82, really. It's like the best team in the league. We gave them a run. if we had a full roster, things would have been probably different. That's probably what their mindset was.
Donovan Mitchell has actually a really good game, kind of like the team. He has a really good game for most of it, for over three quarters, and then he really struggles in the fourth quarter. But then you have some quotes from Quinn Snyder talking about how we still want him to attack. We still want him to be aggressive. We still want him to make decisions on the floor. It seems like, but this is nothing new. We've heard this from Quinn Snyder since, you know, this whole entire season. Every time Donovan has a bad game, we're like, we're okay because we still want him to attack. We don't want to kind of rein him in for anything like that.
Well, when it comes to Donovan, I think their offense needs him to shoot, just simply put. Teams are going to expect that from him. And so when he doesn't shoot, it's just hurting the Jazz, and that's what they know. But when it comes to specifically like Milwaukee, I don't think he's quite there as a point guard yet. So when they put him as that point guard role, the Jazz really do suffer, and that's going to be the issue going forward is how do they find that number two point guard because they simply do not have one. Howell Neto has proven in the past that he can provide 30 to 35 minutes. What are they going to do for that next other 13, 15 minutes? And if it's Donovan, that might put too much on his plate, especially with the way he's been shooting sometimes. He's had a couple good games in the last – he really has been. I think he's kind of turned a corner over the last week, but now putting whole new skills on his set, saying, hey, go and run the team. I don't know if he's quite there yet. And so hopefully being at home, hopefully playing against a couple weaker teams per se, will help the Jazz get through this injury-riddled run, but – Donovan himself does struggle at point guard, and when they ask him to do that, I think it's asking him to be not really who he is, and that hurts the Jazz as a whole.
It's interesting, though, because I think some of his best games is when he, not maybe when he plays point guard, but when he's not always shooting, because when he gives the ball off, he's able to get the ball back eventually. And so I guess I'm wondering, do you see him playing a little bit more point and not so much not being aggressive, but maybe being more of a playmaker more than just a shooter coming up in these next few games, especially without Ricky and without Dante?
See, I think there's a difference between being a playmaker and running a team. And I think Donovan, to your point, is a great playmaker, especially off the ball. He can even take the ball. He takes the ball off court. And Ricky, he does this a lot. Ricky will run to the corner and he'll kind of run the set, but he's not necessarily running the team. And so when he is the true point guard, the guy that has to actually dictate the offense, everything, that's when you see him struggle. And you really did see it in Milwaukee, especially in that fourth quarter. He tried and tried and tried, and he just never found that rhythm. When you put that on his plate, I think that's what he really does struggle. And I think he'll get there. And he said after the game against Milwaukee that he doesn't want to change his mindset at all when he runs it. But the fact is, I think you have to. Like, it is a completely different way you're playing. The Jazz itself, they like to pass the ball a lot, and everyone likes to pass the ball. And so it really shouldn't be, but I think it is. I think Ricky plays a different way than Donovan would play at point guard. And so... So you have to change a little bit, and I don't know if he's quite there yet, and I don't know when that'll actually come or if it can come in season. And so it's just really at this point pray that Dante or Ricky comes back sooner or later.
You mentioned in one of the in that quote that you had from Quinn Snyder, he talked about how he said, we want him to be aggressive, we still want him to make decisions, and we want him to be able to see what's out there on court and think about what he's doing out there. It's kind of sounding like, from what you're saying, that's probably his biggest weakness right now, is that he's not always seeing everything that's going out there, especially when he's driving to the basket.
Yeah, I think he gets pretty bad tunnel vision when he gets into the paint. It's like, once he gets in there, it's, I'm going to shoot. Like, and that really does – and there are so many times, and he's great at reads when he's immediately coming off the pick and roll. So, so good, knowing exactly what to do with the ball. But once he gets into that paint, there are so many times that he has a lob to throw to Rudy or to Derek that he just misses, and he'll just shoot it. And that's just part of the maturation program or process, really. And because it's like, when it comes to he didn't have an off season. Like, he had an ankle injury, he was hurt. And so I don't really think he had the progression a lot of people expected him to make this season, because he just didn't have an off season to work at it. And so I think he's kind of working himself back into his what he was last year, and we're finally starting to see that. His shooting percentage is going up, his reads are getting a lot better. And once And I think once we get into this home stretch and this home heavy schedule, I think you'll start to see the Jazz and Donovan be a little more or less tired. And then suddenly, hey, fatigue isn't an issue, and they'll be playing a lot better and shooting a lot better, and everyone will probably be able to tap off that worry button a little bit that everyone's been feeling.
Last couple of weeks, you've also written about Dante Exum, especially. You wrote one story talking about how he's progressed and how he's doing much better, and now, of course, he's injured. And again, Coach Snyder was interviewed, and he said, you know, we don't want him to think that it's like when he's coming off other injuries, because we've seen that, like, light bulb moment where he is getting it. Is that true? I mean, I say it's true, and from what you've written, it says it's true. Is that true, or is it just also, or a little bit of both, where the coach is just trying to say, we got to keep his spirits up too, because it's another injury for Dante Exum?
Well, when it comes, that was actually really interesting, because it was kind of unprovoked. I think the question, I didn't ask it, but it was actually just like, hey, how long is Dante going to be out, more or less? And he just kind of went off, and about how, hey, he's made this step. He's made this big jump in his play. And that's something that Quinn has been very hesitant to say over the last 3 weeks of Dante really playing. Always been saying, like, hey, we don't want to judge off one game. We don't want to judge off one play or these group of games that he's been playing well. But him saying that, I think, does actually shout, hey, we believe that this guy has made that leap, that made that jump. And I think anyone that's watched over the last month, it's not like, oh, man, we needed the coach to confirm this. He's been amazing. Like, defensively, he's always been good, but he has been able to figure out something offensively. The game has slowed down to him, or he's just been able to utilize his skills. He's known what he's good at. And so, no, I think Quinn saying that just confirms to what everyone has seen, that, hey, this guy is, he's ready to make the leap. He's made the next step, and you don't have to stop believing in this former number five pick from so long ago.
Which makes it even more difficult, you know, if you're a Jazz fan or if even the team right now, you know, Ricky goes down, you'd love to see Dante play in these games,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and I think that's what really hurts. It's like, man, like, the Jazz have been injury riddled in the past, but I don't know if so much as two point guards, that's tough to deal with. And I think that's the big issue right now. But yeah, it would be, it's like, obviously Ricky went out a couple weeks ago and Dante got that start, and everyone was kind of excited to see what he would do. And it would be that same type of feeling, like, hey, at least we get a chance to see what we have in Exum. But, yeah, I guess we get a chance to see what Howell can do. But the good thing is Howell is probably one of the better third point guards in the league. And so he should be able to at least hold the ship down for a little bit at least.
All right, this has been a very guard-heavy podcast so far. And we're going to stop right there because I've already kept you overtime. But I do want to ask, you're brand new at doing this job with the Utah Jazz for KSL.com. How are things gone so far?
It's been an adjustment. Going from FCS football to the NBA is a little different, but no, it's been fun. It's a team I've followed my whole life, so it's not like I've had to learn too much about it. I just get to write about it now. And so, no, it's been fun. KSL's been great. The Jazz are super, super easy to deal with and work with. So, all in all, no complaints here. I did get sick in Milwaukee, so maybe that's my one complaint, is don't go to Milwaukee, people. But
anything coming up that you have planned, or any of the stories that you've really liked so far that you've written for the Jazz? Anything coming up, or anything that you've really liked?
I've got a really good one coming up on Rudy Gobert. Probably will drop on Friday, I'm going to guess. Depends on when I can actually write. Yeah, let's say Friday. that one will be filled with really interesting comments about how he feels that he doesn't necessarily get the respect from the media that he deserves. It's kind of based off the All-Star voting and how he's not even in a top 10. He was pretty insightful on it, and so that was pretty fun to talk to him about that. And so, yeah, that'll be a pretty good one, I think.
All right, Ryan Miller, thanks a lot.
All right, man, thanks.
Got to love Rudy, always looking for an angle to keep himself going. Hey, Rudy, guess what? You're still one of the best defenders in the NBA. You probably should be an All-Star. Don't worry about it. You'll get enough media credit. You know, like Alex and I talked about not too long ago, you'll get more credit once this team starts winning more. All right, we'll have another Jazz Notes podcast on Friday morning with KSL's Jeremiah Jensen and myself. We'll get you ready for the Jazz's home games against the Lakers and Bulls on Friday and Saturday night. Plenty more to say about Donovan Mitchell, too, and the team in this podcast. We'll talk to you coming up on Friday. Make sure you download, subscribe, write us a review. Let us know what you think of the Jazz Notes podcast. We're going to be bringing more to you. Thanks a lot for listening.